Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Sunday, September 13th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope you all enjoyed your weekend. I took Friday off, so I wanted to make sure I did a podcast on Sunday evening. Title of today's podcast, The Social Disorder. This is after watching a documentary this weekend on Netflix titled The Social Dilemma. Netflix took the time to put this together. It's a documentary that questions former and some current tech executives working with some of the largest tech companies in the world, such as Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Apple, Facebook, Google, you name it. They were there. And this is basically a warning cry to the country and to the world of the negative side effects of social media, something that we have discussed here many times before. But especially with this election year, especially with the amount of misinformation, disinformation, outright fake news that exists, coupled with the immeasurable amount of division and people who are siloed in that simply want to listen only to what they agree with, is a recipe for disaster. And we are witnessing all of this. So we're going to get into that deeper. That's going to be the crux of today's podcast, a discussion of that documentary. Take the time to watch it, The Social Dilemma. And again, that's why we're calling today's podcast The Social Disorder. Before we get into that, I'm sure many of you are aware of some more protests picking up steam. This is no surprise to this audience. You have the Yellow Vests taking to the streets once again in France. You have quite the march in Belarus. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you, these protests, these riots, they are not transitory, they are history in the making. We discussed last week during a podcast, Global Protest History or Fad, we were citing some of the data and information out of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, their global protest tracker. I highly suggest you check that out. And the Carnegie Endowment, they said, okay, there's three motivations. There's three reasons why these protests are taking place in their estimation. And I agree with them. Economic, political, and corruption. Now, it's all three. I don't think it's just one or just two. Sometimes they cite that it's just one or just two. I think it's all three of them. I don't think you can break them apart. Now, what the foundation might be doing is saying, well, that was the catalyst. The catalyst for why people took to the streets was because of corruption or because of some political event or because of some economic event. That's all quite possible. But at the end of the day, it's all three. You cannot separate them out, in my opinion. Again, those catalysts are the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. That I can agree with. It was the final straw. It was the last straw that got people to take to the streets. And again, it could have been a catalyst of corruption or politics or economics. But deep-seated in all of this frustration and anger is all three of those reasons. And these are picking up steam. They are going to get much worse, unfortunately, before they get better. Because this system, the global system, not just here in the United States, but this global system of binging on debt, of stealing future growth and prosperity, it's coming to an end. And it should. But it's going to be a violent end, unfortunately, because there's no leadership. Nobody wants to tell you the truth. Here in the United States, the president doesn't want to cause panic, except with everything else he says. So pay attention to the protests. Something else breaking over this weekend that we have been discussing here for months as well. When I go through a handful of countries that I say are the weakest links, and these are going to be the dominoes that start falling first, I've always mentioned for the past several months, Lebanon, Venezuela, Turkey, and Iran. Well, Lebanon and Venezuela were no-brainers. We are starting to see some major declines, you can almost call them collapses, of the Iranian and the Turkish currencies. When you have a collapse of currencies, you have hyperinflation, which is what is being witnessed and experienced in Venezuela and in Lebanon. Not far behind, as I have been stating, is Iran and Turkey. And that is now appearing to be the case. I told you it was coming. The weakest links are always the first to go. There are more coming down the pike. I also think there was some economic data that I didn't cover last week in great depth, and I'm not going to go in great depth here either, because it's not the point of today's podcast, but I believe South Africa, their GDP came in for the second quarter at a contraction of 50%, might even have been 51%. This is devastating. There is not going to be any major bounce back. There is not going to be a global V-shaped recovery. There is not going to be an American V-shaped recovery. We have all but sealed our fate when we signed into law the Nobody Cares Act. As I warned this audience again 6 months ago already. 6 months ago, back in March. That was just my letter, but I was telling the audience this even before that. We sealed our fate because we've already spent this year about $7 trillion. $7 trillion, that's just at the federal level. That's not including state and local spending. Just the federal level, $7 trillion. And that was just to get us where we are today. You understand that? That's how much money has already been thrown into this system, and this is where we are. This is the best we can do. How much more are they going to need to kick this can even further down the road? Because the worst of the economic fallout is coming next year because of what they did with the Nobody Cares Act, with what the Federal Reserve did in coordination with other governments and with other central banks, mind you. This is a global concerted effort to throw as much Banana Republic money into the system as possible. And it's running its course. And we know the major issues, the structural issues that are waiting in the wings. The evictions, the insolvencies, the bankruptcies, the massive layoffs, hours to be cut, wages to be cut, which are already being experienced. And tomorrow, I think I'm going to highlight a recent survey that came out. I believe NPR focused on this, did a write-up on it. And we're going to take our time to go through that. A lot of the data is stuff that we talk about here all the time, but this just sort of condenses it, brings it all together with a major focus on the four largest cities in the country, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Houston. And it's really heartbreaking. It's a tragedy. And these numbers are going to get worse before they get better. Some other news over the weekend was, of course, further fallout from Bob Woodward's book, which we mentioned last week as well, Rage. The title of the book is Rage, a focus on President Trump and the administration. And so far, the most controversial or damning information that came out, and this is the president on tape. So the administration can no longer fall back on this is fake news, this is unnamed sources, blah, 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 blah. This is the president. The president himself is the source. He is on tape, having downplayed the coronavirus, stating that he wants to downplay the coronavirus, and now he is throwing up a straw man argument with some of his recent rallies, saying they wanted me to scream at the top of my lungs that there's, you know, everybody's got to be in a panic, everybody's got to be in crisis mode. That's not what we're saying here, Mr. President. Yelling and screaming has nothing to do with the truth. If you want to speak the truth, please do it. Please. It has nothing to do with screaming at the top of your lungs or yelling or screaming fire. You can tell the truth in a calm manner. That's what this country needs, because he has no problem trying to incite panic or fear into his base so they vote for him. Now, in a country that is so divided as we are, more division is not the solution. Leaders are supposed to be problem solvers. Causing more division is not going to solve this. Saying that if you vote for the other side, all hell's going to break loose. Your property values are going to collapse. Antifa, the communists are going to get you. I mean, if he wins again, what are the Democrats going to cease to exist? Are they going away? What is going to bring them to the table during his next 4 years should the president win? When he said, you are the enemy of the country, basically. and his base eats it up, which causes further division. This cannot stand. This is not leadership. This is not presidential. This is not American. This cannot and should not be supported. And we're going to have our own problems. Make no mistake about it. But it's because of both of these idiots. It's because of both of these parties. That's why you have to leave them. That's why you have to take my advice. This is as peaceful as it gets. Change your registration. Leave the Democrat Party. Leave the Republican Party. Become an independent, unaffiliated. I would advocate you go to the Libertarian Party. I would advocate that you vote for the Libertarian candidate. And send a message that these two parties, the two-party system, is on notice. Put them on notice. And also send a message to third-party candidates. Come on, come out of the woodwork. Don't be afraid to make some noise. Come out. The country is looking for another voice. It's looking for another opinion. I'm telling you, that's what you have to do. Because voting for these jokers ain't going to do a damn thing. It's going to make it worse. And that's going to happen pretty much regardless. This has just got to run its course. But to the tech execs, the social disorder. I mean, you have some of these people, tech execs and some of the engineers, software engineers, computer engineers, what have you, interviewed. One of the guys they interviewed was a co-inventor of Google Mail, Gmail, some other things within that that platform, and also Facebook's like button. Everybody says like, share, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. He was responsible for the like button. And it's interesting when you listen to these guys because, you know, they were at the forefront of basically a new industry. Basically new technology, new business. And you can imagine their optimism. And these are very intelligent people, type A personalities, want to succeed, want to do well, want to perform, and they want to get paid. Okay, that's fine. You know, the like button, as this engineer said, that was all about positivity. I happen to believe him when he says this. Now, is it possible that there are some evil geniuses within these companies who may have thought, well, this is going to cause some problems down the other side, but guess what? There's too much money to be made, so screw it. We don't care about the negative effects. Quite possibly. But the group of people who were interviewed, I take them for their word that these are pretty much good people who were just trying to do their job, not fully understanding the negative side effects, even if there were negative potential side effects from what they were putting together. So with respect again to the Facebook like button, as this engineer argues, it was all about positivity. It was about people putting posts on their platform on Facebook that people were going to give the thumbs up to because they wanted to get this out to as many people within their community because it was something positive. Spread positive news. They had no idea. They had no idea that in time, when people put posts out there and they don't get enough likes, that they were going to go into a state of depression. Because study after study after study is finding that that is the case, as we've discussed here before. And depending on the platform, you can tell what platform that individual uses by the state of their depression, by the degree of their depression. Where I think Instagram is the worst, because it's all about pictures and videos. So it's not just, you know, a lot of verbiage or stories or this, that, or the other, somebody writing something up. It's an image of somebody on a vacation or at a club or somebody enjoying themselves. And then somebody, of course, is scrolling through it. Not on vacation, not at the club. And they get depressed. And they also focus in this documentary on the mental health side effects, especially for younger people, and they even break it down further for younger girls, teenage and preteen, in the huge increase of young people, and again, particularly younger women and young girls who are attempting suicide, committing suicide, inflicting self-harm, ending up in the hospital, suffering from anxiety, social anxiety, and depression. Children! Children! They're not supposed to be socially anxious or depressed. They're children. They should be out playing, having fun, enjoying their childhood. But they have these devices in their hands, and it's destroying them. And not to mention, their brains are still developing. And we are putting a tool in their hand with these smartphones and with all of these social media platforms into their hands, into their daily lives, where they spend hours upon hours on a daily basis consuming all of this material. And most of it is garbage. It's garbage. It's pointless. It's a waste of time at the end of the day. But for some reason, it's entertaining and people are addicted to it. And this has also been studied. This is actually an addiction because people get a hit of dopamine. If they post something and somebody comments on their post or they like their post, they give it a thumbs up, they give it a heart, whatever platform it is, whatever that like button would be for that particular platform, that gives people a shot of dopamine, which is basically the happy pill that your brain produces. So it is very interactive. And that is something that is very different than previous technologies. That's different than the radio. That's different than television. Because you turn the radio on, but the radio isn't interacting with you. You turn the television on, but the TV is not interacting with you. The radio doesn't send you notifications. The television doesn't send notifications to your pocket. But social media does, because you got your phone in your pocket. And if you post something and somebody comments or likes, it's going to send you a notification. You're going to get that little ding or whatever it is. And you're going to get that little shot of dopamine. And the brain likes to feel happy. Just like every addict, just like every drug addict likes to feel happy. It's the brain that wants to feel happy. So it needs another hit. It needs another dose. And the more addicted you get to something, you need a bigger hit. Well, that's what's happening. And unfortunately, it's bringing a lot of children down with it. This is not good, ladies and gentlemen. That's just some of the health aspects of all of this. This is a generation that doesn't know any different. A breakdown in this order, because this isn't just the children who are suffering. This is the families. This is the parents who have to see their young children committing suicide, attempting to commit suicide, being bullied, having to deal with depression, when these are supposed to be some of the best days of their life. Carefree, at least. Hopefully, of course, the best is always yet to come, you know, I know. But at least these should be some carefree days. You don't got any bills to worry about. But you have to worry about how many likes you got. If your friends made a comment. And it's very easy to fall into this trap and for people to focus on the negative if somebody should make a negative comment to one of your posts. That's just how the mind works. Too many people want to focus on the negative. And so it brings them down. It makes them depressed. They're young. Their minds are developing. They don't know how to handle it. And when you're also dealing with a world now where everybody gets a trophy, well, this is just a huge cluster, you know what, for these kids, where they all get trophies, but then when somebody tears them down, that's not supposed to happen. Why is this person being critical? Why are they being mean to me? Why wouldn't everything be positive and nice? Why am I not getting a trophy for everything that I do? The mind can't compute it. They don't know how to handle it. And the other shocking thing, but we've noted this before too, these executives, these tech executives and engineers and everybody who's involved with it, if they have children, they don't let their kids use it. Not, okay, that you can have it for an hour or two a day and that's it. No. No. Not limited. You can't have it at all. That's the rule. And what does that tell you right there? That your kids shouldn't have it either. They know what's going on, especially now. I mean, you can make the argument when it first came out, nobody knew, because that's the truth. Nobody knew. It was new. Now, this stuff has been around for a while. Studies have been done. They are continuing to be done. and we get to witness and experience the negative side effects of all of this social media. So I suggest to everybody out there who has young people and their families who are on social media to get rid of it. To get rid of it. Go outside, ride a bike, have fun outside. The human species has made it this far without social media. I think we can keep going. But if we keep going down this path with it, well, then the question becomes, how much further are we going to go? Because it's basically, you know, the dance of the living dead here. Zombie minds, social anxiety, depression, not forming relationships, because everything's done on the phone. So people got to wake up to this. And when the execs and the engineers tell you that their kids aren't even on it because it's a rule, then yours shouldn't be on it either. Now, when you look at things from a political standpoint, how dangerous this can become, because they also talked to some of the early venture capitalists, and he made a comment from a political standpoint, because he said, you know, let's just get this straight. When people talk about election interference with the use of some of these platforms, it's not that Russia or other state actors, or anybody else for that matter, is quote-unquote hacking Facebook to pick a platform, but they are just simply utilizing Facebook's platform effectively. That's all it is. They're not hacking it. They are just using the tools that Facebook has created for companies to use so that they can get people to watch advertisements and so that they can click on those advertisements and so they can sell their products. So these state actors, whether that's Russia, China, any country, or any individual for that matter, who might have a big bankroll, to go out and to put ads out on Facebook, well, they just say, okay, well, here, I want to pick this demographic. Check the box, check the box, check the box, check the box. Boom, go. Because you already have what you have written up. Of course, it doesn't matter if it's true. Chances are it's not going to be true. But it has enough truth in it to convince people that it is the truth. At least all those boxes that you checked off, because you know this demographic. You know that Trump supporters want to hear this. So boom, push the button, there it goes. People get deeper into their silo. People who despise Donald Trump or support Joe Biden, let's put these checkboxes, checkbox, checkbox, checkbox. Click the button, go. And everybody is going to get further and further apart. Because all they're going to keep focusing on is what they want to hear and what they want to see and what they want to be told. Because it makes them feel smart, it makes them feel intelligent, and that's it. See, I told you this was the case. I told you Donald Trump said this, not that. And then the other side says the same thing. I told you Trump said this. I told you he's a liar. And people can't talk to each other. And they'll go to their phone and they'll go to their social media platforms and say, see, look, this is the truth. It has to be the truth, for God's sake. It's on the internet. It gotta be true. This is what's going on. So it's not a matter of hacking these platforms for political purposes. It's just utilizing them. Just the same way Johnson & Johnson would. The same way Tesla or Ford would. The same way Colgate-Palmolive would. Don't have to hack them. The system's already set up for you to get as many eyeballs on these ads as possible. Just gotta pay. That's all. And it'll be blasted out there to the demographic that you want. I mean, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. We have to wake up as a country. This division, it cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. We are not witnessing leadership here from the President of the United States. He is poking the bear. He is sticking his finger in an open wound, pouring salt in it, trying to scare his base and anybody else in the country to vote for him. Because the other side is going to lead to the complete demise and destruction of this country. It's both parties that have led to the complete demise and destruction of this country. Wake up. Again, I have 27 trillion pieces of evidence. And if you're getting tired of me saying that, don't worry. Because in short order, it's going to be 28 trillion, and then 29, and then 30 trillion. So don't worry. You're getting tired of hearing me saying 27. It'll be going up. Don't worry. This is a joke. This is the social disorder. Now, some of these tech executives have started their own corporation, have started their own companies, or have started their own organizations, trying to raise awareness to Congress and to the community at large of the negative aspects of these platforms. And this, these people here that at least were interviewed were of the mindset that the negatives, unfortunately, outweigh the positives. Yeah, there can be positives. You can, you know, stay in touch with friends. You can connect with friends and relatives that you haven't seen for a long time. Maybe you never come across certain relatives before. This is a way to find them or reach out to them. I mean, hell, you hear stories all the time, somebody finding an organ donor, which they cited in the documentary. That's positive news. But is that, I mean, is that it? Is that really what the platform is for organ donors? Shouldn't we have an organ donor system that does a good job at that? So that's why they're coming to the conclusion that the negatives unfortunately outweigh a lot of the positives. And when you look inside these companies, they know this. But there's too much damn money to be made. So they look the other way or they don't care. They have programs for children. You got YouTube Kids. You have a whole, you know, I mean, everything. You have everything. Don't target your kids just like anybody else. They don't care. They want the dollars. They want the money. And that's what's, that's another thing that's wrong here in this society, is it's profit at any cost. It's bailouts at any cost. It's printing money at any cost. It's advertisement at any cost. And as I've stated, free was never so expensive because everybody thinks this stuff's free, and it's not. We are paying for it with the economic decline, the social decline, and the political decline. That's the cost. It's right in front of you. It's right in front of you. Do not get distracted by the circus. It's very easy to get distracted. They want you to be distracted. That's the purpose of the circus, is to be distracted so they can run away with all the loot at any cost. And we, the people, are going to pay the tab. The whole thing. All the taxes, all the inflation, all of these social media platforms and the advertisements trying to get your... It doesn't matter what the cost. It doesn't matter if your kid ends up in a hospital, tries to kill themselves, does kill them. They don't care. They just want the advertisement. Well, that's yours. Well, you're supposed to be a responsible adult. It's your children. That's their cop-out. There's some validity to that. I'm not going to say that. There's some truth in that. But where's the ethics? Where's the responsibility on their side too? Especially when you know, that this stuff is happening. You can make the argument early on that you didn't know because you didn't know. Now you do. Now you have the responsibility. You have the obligation to do something constructive about it. So that's the social disorder. There's more to it, but I suggest you take the time on Netflix, if you have it, to watch that. And again, it's called The Social Dilemma, interviewing several former tech execs, engineers, computer engineers, software designers, all that stuff. It's worth a listen to. If you have family members who have young children who are about to become, about to get a cell phone or a smartphone or about to get on social media or are on social media, tell them to get off. Tell them to get off, get on a bicycle, go outside and have fun. If you can't figure out how to have fun, well, you got a problem. But at least you can probably solve that a lot quicker than you can their social anxiety and their depression and their desire to hurt themselves, because that ain't good. So that's it. This week is going to be, I imagine it's going to be a choppy week because the Federal Reserve comes out and announces their BS decision on interest rates and what they're going to do, yada, yada, yada. So the markets will be in anticipation. We also have some more news with the vaccine, of course. AstraZeneca, yes, the same AstraZeneca last week that said they were putting their vaccine on halt because of serious side effects. Oh, now we might be starting it up again. How quickly that turned around. I wonder if somebody within that company sold short before the announcement and then bought it up again when they announced, hey, we're going to go back to it. Same thing with Pfizer, because they're out with their vaccine too. Wonder if they bought before. Where's the SEC? Where's this fraud is right in front of us. Where is it? This should be the easiest thing to look into. I bet they're not looking into it at all. So we're going to focus on the Federal Reserve this week. Again, tomorrow probably on that economic survey, unless there's some other type of breaking news. But just to give the audience deeper insight, deeper picture as to what's going on across this country, but with a particular focus on those four largest cities in the country, which is still somewhat representative of the rest of the country as well. So stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.